We're faced with a certain tension here in these two readings. They're the three. And on the one side of the tension, there is compassion and mercy and understanding of people's humanity and their inability to follow the law completely. And so the Pharisees and the scribes, the experts in the law over the centuries, built in certain exceptions, certain ways out, ways to get around the law. And those were intended in every good sense, not to let people get off the hook easily, but to allow people to escape who, for the various circumstances, just were oppressed by the law. That's one side of the tension. And the other side is, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And so Jesus says, he writes a new law. He's the new Moses, the new lawgiver. And he says, you've heard it said, but I say. And he's quoting the old law, you've heard it said. And then he's expanding that out into infinite dimensions. Or another way of looking at that tension. The old law is thou shalt not. It's always written in the negative. And much law, human or divine, is written in the negative. Thou shalt not. But that's easier to obey than the positive thou shalt. So, for example, thou shalt not kill. I'm guessing that everybody in this room has been able to fulfill that law. None of us has killed anybody. But thou shalt love in the positive. I don't think there's anybody in this room who is convinced that they've done everything they could to love. Because it's infinite. Because love is God. And who is God but God alone? So you see the tension there. All kinds of laws are written in the minimal. It's the lowest common denominator. They're written so that nobody could have an exception, that everybody is physically, mentally capable of obeying that law, so that when a police officer comes and challenges you, you don't have any excuse because the law was minimal. It's like you should be able to do this. But Jesus' law is maximal. And it's not written in the sense that of the lowest common denominator, it's written in the sense of God and the kingdom. And so these are kingdom rules: to love your neighbor as yourself, to never get angry, to never resent, to never harbor evil thoughts against each other, to never seek revenge, even in our hearts, even in our minds. This is of God. Now, I think a key to the understanding of these three readings is that middle one from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. You are temples of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in you. You come from God, and you are going to God. God is your Alpha and your Omega, your beginning and your end. And so in the in-between, you should find God there also. And the word that Paul uses in Greek for temple is actually sanctuary. You know, in the Jewish temple, there was the temple precincts, which were enormous. Then there was the temple building, which was still a considerably large building, and people were allowed in there. And even in the outer courts of that building, Gentiles were allowed. But then you get into a closer area where only Jews were allowed, and then finally you had the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, where only one person could go, and that was the priest. And he could only go in there once a month, because that was where God dwelt. And this is the word that St. Paul uses when he says, your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple. And, you know, for centuries, Jews understood God's presence among them as being in a building and in a specific part of that building. But Jesus throws that all out and says, I am the temple. My body is the temple. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And he was talking about his own body. And then We become his body, the church. We are the Holy of Holies. We are the temple of God's dwelling. And so that says enormous things about us in the positive, but with all blessings come responsibilities. And so comes this awesome responsibility to live up to that. The last line of the gospel, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We are destined for divinity. We have our origins there, and that is our final destiny. How do you live that in human life? How do we take that from here, that which we celebrate at the altar? This is the sanctuary. This is the Holy of Holies. And we celebrate our oneness with Christ. Now, remember that second reading again. St. Paul says, everything belongs to you. The heavens, the earth, the past, the future, it all belongs to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. It's all one. It's all in union. And that's what we're celebrating here at every Mass, the union of ourselves with Christ and Christ with God. And therefore, the past, the future, the heavens, the earth, the cosmos, it all belongs to us. We are one with it all. And as mind-boggling as that is, that's what we celebrate ritually and sacramentally every time we celebrate the Mass. So forget the wisdom of the world. Forget all the rules and the customs and the mores and everything that's out there in the world. And think like God. Another way St. Paul says that is, put on the mind of Christ. We are to think like God thinks, and God reigns on the just and the unjust alike. And God is good and merciful and kind to the sinner and the saint. God shows no distinction. And so if we put on the mind of Christ, if we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, if we have the mind of the Father, then we don't make distinctions either. We are merciful and compassionate to the sinner. We love those who hate us. We are kind to those who are not going to be able to repay us in kindness. Remember Jesus' words in the gospel? So what if you're good to people who are good to you? Tax collectors do that. Big deal. So what if you lend to those who are going to repay you? So what? Pagans do that. I'm asking you to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Put on the mind of Christ. Love those who hate you. Pray for your persecutors. Have that patience that God has. I love the responsorial psalm. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God put our transgressions from us. We who are sinners ourselves, we who deserve punishment, we who deserve eternal damnation, that isn't what God plans, because he has separated our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. And then he tells you, you must do that same thing for one another. You must put their transgressions against you far from them. Don't associate them with their transgressions. Don't assume about anyone that the way they acted toward you is who they really are. Because they were often acting out of their own hurt, out of their own fears, out of their own lack of self-esteem. I mean, you could go on and on for the reasons. But we're quick to get angry and say, oh, that was wrong. You have wronged me and I want revenge. That's not being perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. We are capable of that. We sell ourselves short, you know. We think that we can't be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, but we have the Spirit of God dwelling in our very bodies. We are capable, we just don't believe it. And one of the reasons God comes among us in the Mass every Sunday is to whisper in our ear, you are loved. You divine. You are capable of perfection. You are capable of kindness and mercy and understanding beyond your wildest belief. Just accept that capability and allow God to breathe in you.